Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today in sadness some at the way our world has rejected the life that you give. We come today praying that we as believers would come against the thief who comes but to kill and to destroy. And that we would embrace you fully, who gives life and gives it abundantly. Lord, today as we remember with sadness the passing of Roe v. Wade in the United States of America, and we think of the fact that in 2018, the greatest cause of death in the whole world was the taking of the unborn's lives in abortion. Lord, we come with heavy hearts, but with hopeful hearts, that your hand will change that. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We read today in John chapter 10, Jesus saying that he is the shepherd. And he says in verse 8, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. Anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go out and find pasture. The thief, verse 10, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Christ is the giver of life. He's the giver of physical life, as we see in John chapter 1. All is created through him. In him was the life. The life was the light of men. He's the giver of spiritual life as he came down and died and paid for our sins. His enemy is the taker of life. The one who from the beginning caused Adam and Eve to sin and spiritually die, and who soon after that, caused by his temptations and his pride, the physical death of Abel by his brother Cain. And Christ says of him, he's a murderer from the beginning and a liar. But he's very, very good at it. His lies have filled our society so that we rejoice in the taking of life. I've seen pictures of women marching, celebrating the right to kill their own babies. I see people, I heard a man, a teacher's assistant at a university, who sent a note out saying that he's a man of color, a black man, who said, if we have to kill some white people to get our rights, well, that's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay that white people kill black people. It's not okay that black people kill white people. But it's become in our society where we think that the solution for things is death. And the thing is, we've got technology doing it now. You know, we've got these vampire life technologies where we're going to take fetuses and we're going to harvest their stem cells so that you and I can live longer. Or we're going to even clone, and we'll talk about that later, therapeutic cloning, so that people can get the clone's organs and put them in their own bodies. Clone me so I can have a new young heart. And this is the cutting edge of where we're going in today's society. These vampire technologies, you know, vampires live by sucking the blood of others and killing them. That's the story of the vampire. And that's what our technologies are doing. These young ones are now going to be used in the future to let us older ones live older at the cost of their lives. Because see, Revelation chapter 18, verse 13, at the time of the end, in the great Babylon, that city, that harlot city, which represents the culmination of human civilization. It says that as they looked at that city and all the selling that they did of wood and precious stones and all these other things, it ends in verse 13, and they sold the bodies and the souls of men. And that's what we're in today. Human trafficking. Piles of used bodies that are found in shallow graves. Children who have been taken and abused and then killed. Piles upon piles. 1 million plus every year. Unborn babies thrown into trash cans. The selling of the bodies and the souls of men. All for the benefit of the sellers and the buyers. It's just business. So that I can live longer and my life can be fuller. And it's my right. That's what our society is saying today. You listen to it. I saw on Facebook today a very optimistic little meme that says, getting my rights shouldn't mean the taking of yours. Life is not a pie. It sounds very nice, but the trouble is too often the getting of my rights involves today taking the rights of another. The right of a woman to choose is the slogan for taking away the right of a baby to live. And it was signed not by a law, but by a court in 1973, because we're bought with a price. Our bodies are not our own. Jesus Christ, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20, what, know you not your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. We're bought with a price. Neither you nor I say, I have the right to do what I want with my body, because it's not my body. Forget the fact that the baby's body inside the woman is not even the woman's body. Even if it were, a woman doesn't have a choice, a right to do with her body what God who made her doesn't want her to do. That's what sin is. Same with a man. I don't have a right to take my body and force it on someone else in a way that God doesn't want me to do. My rights stop where yours begin. But the trouble is, abortion is the gateway to a bunch of other things. See, we all think the babies and the babies, and the babies are very, very important. 41 million last year alone around the world. 41 million children. That's a seventh of the size of the country, our country, around the world last year. And it's a tragedy, and it's a travesty, and it's a sin, but it's only the beginning. Satan's not done yet. This is a brave new world, and we have now the old being degraded. And the earliest I remember where it came out publicly was back some years, where the then governor of Colorado, Governor Lamb, said that the aged have the duty to get out of the way so that the young can not use all the resources that the young need. He was the governor of Colorado. Of course, Colorado has continued down the road so that now, you know, Rocky Mountain High is not a song, just a song anymore. It's, you know, everybody's walking around high in the Rocky Mountains, you know, because Colorado's just going down this road. But it starts with the degrading of the age. And the thing is, they make it look compassionate. They make abortion look compassionate. The poor woman, she shouldn't have to carry this baby she doesn't want. And then with the old, that person, there's no quality of life anymore. Just get rid of them. Mercy killing. It's a mercy that that person be put out of their misery. But see, the trouble is, they forget one very important thing in John chapter 3, verse 18. It says, he who believes not is condemned already. That person, no matter how bad their suffering is here, if they haven't trusted Christ, they're going somewhere worse. How many doctors take that into account? Mercy killing is not a mercy. But you say, well, maybe they don't, they can't even trust Christ anymore. It's too late anyway. Still not a mercy to send them off early. And you never know. I heard over this time when we were at my mother-in-law's funeral, I heard of a case where there was another person with severe dementia. And the family went in to talk to them about the gospel. And for the last time, the person cleared up and was lucid. And they gave him the gospel and the person understood. And as soon as they finished, they clouded up again. God can do that. When is the last chance a person has to trust Christ? When they breathe their last breath. Then lucidity, God can bring that spirit back into the world enough so that they can hear one last time. We think too naturally. So it's not mercy killing to send a lost person off one moment early to somewhere they can never come back from. But the doctors never think of that. But the trouble is, it's worse than that, because we talk about quality of life. And this is very, very, very personal to me because of what we've just gone through with my mother. We were in the hospital a couple of times before she passed away. And she was definitely in pain. When they would bring her out enough out of the sleep and she could feel, you could tell she was in pain. But we went in. We were singing hymns, and she was still there enough to sing, to try and sing with us. And I know the last few years have been very, very, very difficult for her. And she's now in the presence of the Lord and enjoying total freedom from pain and total joy. And I wonder, you know, sometimes why was she kept here for as long as she was, as hard as it was to let her go yesterday and the day she actually passed away. Angie and Maria and all the rest of the Almaguers had to take care of her. Many nights, Angie didn't sleep in our bed because she's next door taking care of her mother, or Maria did the same thing, and people took her to the hospital, and people went and visited, and people loved her and hugged her, and a lot of the time she couldn't even recognize it. But you know who did recognize it? God recognized it. And sometimes people are left here not only for their benefit, but for ours. Because growing in love sometimes requires times like that. It's much easier to take the person and put them out. Not think and not let your heart be dragged with it. And that's what the world wants. I don't want to see that. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to feel that. Nobody does. But it's part of what Christ meant when he says, take up your cross and follow me. And there's a certain kind of love you can't learn without being put in a situation like that, where you have to care for someone that can do nothing back for you in return. And we lose that if we simply say it's all about their quality of life. See, God knows about their quality of life. God knows how long each of us needs to be on the earth. And now, of course, we want to let Doctors, assist in this. Bring someone else in. Don't just kill yourself. Have someone else murder you. It's compassionate. The Bible still says, thou shalt not murder. That's still one of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20:13. But Satan is really happy to have this. You know, I know how hard it was for my mother-in-law in these last couple years and how hard it was for our family. But I know this. I am richer for it. My wife is richer for it. Maria is richer for it. The whole family is richer for it. These last 2 years with her have not been in vain. And now she has an eternity. And so do we. But it goes on from there. We're doing genetic engineering, and it's not just with plants. We have this quest for perfection. So in another 10, 15 years, you'll be able to choose everything you want with your baby. The technology's there. You know, where we'll be able to go in and you want a boy baby with purple eyes. And you want him 6'2". You'll be able to go in and order it. The technology is right at the edge. There was a doctor in China who was arrested recently for doing these genetically modified babies. These CRISPR babies, they call it. And it's going to progress. Nobody's going to stop the wall of Babel, the Tower of Babel here, except God himself. But we have genetic engineering. And the trouble with genetic engineering is they make a lot of embryos to work with. Each one of those is a life. But the imperfect ones are discarded. Just another piece of cell to throw into the trash. We make them, and we destroy them. We fiddle with their DNA, and if it doesn't come out exactly right, we destroy them. That's where we are in our society today with this genetic engineering. And it's all to seek out perfection. Now, I understand, you know, it would be a good thing from a medical perspective, to be able to actually fix Down syndrome and so many other genetic diseases, fix them before they go and take hold. Tinker the DNA. It sounds wonderful. But at what cost again? This is again vampire technology. We're sucking the life out of so many to get there. And then we discard them. But there's a deeper thing than that. Can you have perfection without the cross? See, after we sinned and death entered the world, all the rest of this stuff started happening, genetic problems and all these things, and we hate it. I hate it. It saddens me when a child comes out with Down syndrome or other syndromes that are built into their DNA. And what a wonderful thing it would be if, with a little wand of magic, we could perfect it. But the Bible says in Galatians 2:21 that there is no perfection. There's no righteousness in the law apart from the cross of Christ. Do you know every one of those kids with Down syndrome and these other syndromes, some of them never reach the age, the mental situation where they can trust Christ, and others do. But God, every one of those that comes through Christ will be perfected one of these days. But they're perfected through the cross. Jesus died for our perfection. Jesus paid the price for our sins so that we could be saved. And everyone who trusts in him is saved. Jesus came to give life. Jesus came to give it abundantly. And there is no perfection apart from the cross. You go in and you fiddle with a baby's DNA and you change him and the baby's born perfect. And you know what? In 75 years, they still look like a 75-year-old. And in 80 years or 90 years, they're in the ground. And all the perfection that you spent so much time creating has corrupted. But praise God, I read the passage at the funeral yesterday at the graveside. This corruptible will put on incorruption. And this mortal will put on immortality. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Perfection is given only one place, and that's at the cross of Jesus Christ. And if we think we can do it scientifically, we're the thief and the robber who's trying to get in over the wall and not through the door. But it goes on further than that, because they want to clone. They want to make clones. And the big debate is, will clones have a soul? Yes! Clones will have a soul. We better believe. What is a clone? A clone is an artificial identical twin. That's all a clone is. So if I had myself cloned, it would be an identical twin, because it would be basically the same process done by artificial means. So clones, which will come, I do believe there will be human cloning. I don't see any reason there couldn't be. Humans have been having natural clones for as long as there have been twins. But we're going to take this and, oh, we're going to do things with it. They've already made the regulations. They don't want anybody cloning another Tom or another Angie or another Natasha or another Simon. Not to walk around as another Tom or another Natasha or another Angie. What they want, and the laws are already there. You can't clone that way, but you can do what's called therapeutic cloning. Now, they haven't done it yet because we haven't gotten quite to the technology, but that's what's being allowed. What is therapeutic cloning? It sounds so good. The word therapeutic means healing, right? Cloning for healing, what is that? Your clone, you can't make another clone as a person, but you can, at this point in the ethics laws, you can make a clone to get their organs so that you can have another heart or another lung or another kidney. They're not people. That is, it's a supply of fresh organs as yours run out. And they call it therapeutic cloning. Because you're healed when you get a new heart that hasn't been messed up with all the things you and I are doing to our present heart. But that heart factory will have a soul and will be treated like a machine. Because that's what Satan wants. And then last, the total societal glorification of violence. Life is cheap today. People going into schools and shooting up students with automatic, semi-automatic, handguns, whatever they had. And we blame it on the gun. The gun is a tool. The reason they shoot people up is life doesn't mean anything anymore. It comes out in our video games. It comes out in our music. It comes out in all these things. Violence is just, killing is fun. Because if you don't take life when it's born at its value, why should you take it at any other time at its value? We as Christians are told by God to choose life. And the biggest elephant in the room is the abortion, because it's killing so many. But it's only the gateway. And we as Christians need to pray for our society and work in our society to say, is what you're doing really fostering life? putting a value on mothers and fathers and children, putting a value on people, even if they're different from you, because they make more, or they have a different color, or they make less, or they have a different educational level, or they speak a different language, or they believe differently from you. Choose life. Choose that which will not kill and steal and destroy. Make 2019 the year where the church comes out, not in a negative, I don't want anybody necessarily, I'm anti-abortion. That's not the issue. I'm pro-life. Abortion is just one way. I'm pro-life. I love life. Life that agrees with me, life that doesn't. Because Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come into this day and we remember with sadness Roe v. Wade, and we look at our society and look back at 1973 when that law was signed, that court decision occurred, none of us would have thought we'd be where we are today, where the river of blood could reach up to the horses' bridles. But Lord, you've still given us a chance. And help us here at Living by Faith and those in your body to joyfully and with energy choose life. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.